seemed a little slow, a little dragging in here when we got started. And then, man, you start bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, and it comes unglued, don't it? That's what we need right there. Lift him up. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to crucify him again. One of these days, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Get 2 Kings chapter 13 and get Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I was sitting there just thinking about the message and thinking about how to finish this thing up. They got to singing that song, and I was like, oh, man. Wow, I just couldn't get nothing else on my mind there, thinking about the Lord and thinking about Him just taking it. Creator of the universe, spoke it all into existence. You know, they're sitting there mocking Him, saying, come down. He could have came down. Could have done anything He wanted to do, but He didn't do it. He didn't do it. But one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 11 and 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Let's start reading in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start down in verse 32. Now, finishing up this little mini-series I have with Elisha. Elisha's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love Jonathan. I love Jonathan. He's my favorite character in the Bible. For somebody to have as much as he had, realize that God's hand was on somebody else, and for him to give up what the position that he could have had, he could have fought for, to give it to somebody else. He recognized God's hand was on that man. And Jonathan then played second fiddle to the king. And Jonathan was a great example of somebody that can play the second man, somebody that can be an assistant to who God's hand is upon there. And Jonathan just played it well, did a great job there all throughout his life, finished his life strong. And that's my favorite character in the Bible. But Elisha, now Elisha's another one. The Lord used Elisha and his ministry there. When I was getting ready to go to Bible school, God just used preachers and pastors as they were preaching messages. It seemed like it was one after another about Elisha. And just got to where I just really kind of liked Elisha in the Bible as well. Plus, I mean, it's just easy, like these guys that just have it going on and they're winning every battle there is, and they just stand up to everything there is, and they never get scared, they never run, they never quit, that type of stuff. Those guys are easy to follow. Now, so we had the surrender of Elisha, and then we had the struggle of Elisha, trying to get the power of God in his life. This morning we talked about, I preached on the service of Elisha, what he did, how he lived his life. And tonight we're going to talk about the signing off of Elisha, the last days of his life, the finishing up, finishing his life, and he finished strong. He finished strong, and that's what we like. And it was just studying out this message here this week and these passages and going over them. And in light of what happened with that assassination of Charlie Kirk, it was just hard for me. There's so many similarities to his life and then what I was dealing with Elisha that I just could not keep them separate, and just thinking about what Charlie Kirk did in his life. And I understand this. We're not going to sing about Charlie Kirk. But I can tell you this. He's one of those people that you can look at as an example and look at and say, you know what? He did everything he could in the time that he had. And reading I'm sure we've all got Charlie Kirk stories. I can't remember. I've been listening to him for a long time. One of my kids turned me on to Charlie Kirk at the start. But there's so many there, those little conversations you had where he's on campus there and he's arguing with people and showing his side of it and handling it so graciously like he always did. I've seen videos where they're sitting there literally cussing him like a dog, and they get done and calling him names, and then he says, okay, that's a statement, that's not a question. What's your question? And just handling things the way you're supposed to handle it, and then taking what they say, and him, as I was saying this morning, just having that material that he had, it was just mastered, he was just with it, and he did it. I got studying about his life and thinking about him there a little bit, and he said it started in high school. I was telling those kids Friday night in the fifth quarter that when he was in high school, I think he was a senior in high school, the first time he ever really started getting into doing something and stepping out, they had decided to raise the price of cookies in high school. And he decided to fight against that and got people in the middle of that thing and got a big argument going or I said a disagreement, I guess. So let's talk about this, is what he always said. But I just sat there and look at it, something as innocent as the price of cookies and what that started in his life and what got him going. Long after that, that's 2012. That's just 13 years ago. Just 13 years ago. Man, 31 years old. 13 years ago, he's sitting there and he's getting ready to graduate high school. And he goes through that little thing there with those cookies. And then the next thing you know, he starts Turning Point USA. And as time goes on, he's talking to governors and he's volunteering for this help. And all he wanted to do, along with living for the Lord, and he was telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, how to be saved, all through all that, along with his politics and along with what he was doing. But he was trying to turn country's young people, the youth, turn their hearts back toward God and back toward their country. But mainly it was back toward God. And he would go to these campuses, and that's where it started with this. He would go on campuses and sit there and have these arguments, and he would go and he would deal with and deal with people, and he got to where he learned more and more until he had that Turning Point USA. And then you're sitting there at the end of this thing, and you're sitting there and you're watching the videos there and literally watching a man get shot to death, get assassinated in front of yourself, and you're sitting there looking at this thing and thinking, man, What in the world? What in the world just happened here? So hard to get your hand around and get your fingers around and trying to grasp what went on. But what I began to think about was, you know, I'm thinking about those verses about boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Or what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. We're not here on this earth long, and now at 57 years old, sitting here thinking about that, I've got, you know, if I live to be 70, like the Bible talks about, you know, or by strength, I get to 80, whatever. If it's 70, I got 13 years left. 13 years left of my life if I made it to 70. Maybe shorter than that. You never know. But what I'm saying is this, is thinking about 13 years ago was 2012. It just seems like yesterday. It just seems like yesterday. And 13 years from now, I mean, I guess that's going to be 2038. It's going to come. And it's going to get here, and it's going to be here quick. And all I could think about was, I just want to finish the right way. I mean, you talk about, and I know that it was sad, and I know that it was an event. I feel, I hate it. My heart goes out to their family, to their wife. As you sit there and listen to her talk yesterday, and she's going out there, and she's laying all that stuff out, and the life, and the fact that she's going to keep fighting and keep doing what he had started, and she's going to keep that thing going on. And listen to that, my heart goes out to them, to those kids, and what they went with, like anybody would. But at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking, man, to go out in the minute of that passion where you're sitting there and you are fighting for what you believe in, what you think you're called to do, and at that moment, you're out. And the next thing he saw was the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's going from sitting here trying to get his point across to somebody, and then all of a sudden, he's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, you got to do a double take. I mean, it's just crazy. But I sit here and think about my own life. I think, I just want to finish the right way. I just want to finish, man, both guns blaring, going out, man, in a blaze of glory. That's what I want to do. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, it's the chapter here, the heroes of the faith, and God is talking back about what all these people did and how they lived and what they accomplished through faith. And down here in verse 32, and look what it says. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom, look what it says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made Perfect. All right, go to 2 Kings. Go back over to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. And the story here, just to get an idea there, kicking off there in Hebrews, just to show you the importance of it will be worth it all. It's worth doing what you do. It's worth denying yourself. It's worth doing right. I remember reading a story about a lady, or there's a book on Robert E. Lee, and his sister had written him a letter during the war, and she wrote a letter and said, you know, I'm raising my son. I'm just looking for some pointers on how to raise a good son, how to make him right, how to get him to live right, do right. And she said, I'm just looking for some pointers. And she wrote that letter to Robert E. Lee, and he wrote that letter back, and he simply just said, teach him to deny himself. Teach him to deny himself. You know what kids need to hear today? They need to hear the word no. And they need to learn how to tell themselves no. Us, as adults, we need to learn how to say what? Say no. We need to learn how to deny ourselves. And over there in Hebrews chapter 11, it said they hadn't received, they didn't make it here on this earth. They didn't get their promises here on this earth. Jesus Christ was here on this earth and He got crucified. But there's coming a day where He'll get what He deserves, right? He'll get that throne. He'll get what He's done. And us who have done what we're supposed to do, one day the Lord's going to look at us if we've done what we're supposed to do. And He'll look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what we should be striving for. And that's what I've been saying and is trying to talk about in these messages about Elisha was, man, we are here for a purpose. We are here to live clean, to live good, to live right, to serve God, to love God, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to give Him every bit ounce of breath in our life until the day He takes us home. That's what we're here for. And here what you have is you get 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, look down around verse 14. And what you have here is this. Is you've got the end of his life. And Elisha and Elijah, they were prophets to the north who they had forsaken God and they had started turning into idols and Baal worshiping and all that stuff. And so they had a hard road to hoe to begin with. But they stayed with the stuff. And here at the end, he's dealing with another king of Israel. And in verse 14, it says this. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Now to just get a picture of what's going on here is Elisha's sick and he's getting ready to die. And this king comes down and he's needing something. And I'm not even for sure the king understands the importance of what's happening right here. I don't even think his mind understands what's at stake right here. And he's just sad. He's down because Elisha's getting ready to die. But what Elisha's looking at is Elisha's saying, listen, you still got some fight. I'm going on, but you got some fight. It wasn't long. 13 chapters ago, Elijah was getting ready to leave and Elisha was getting ready to fight. Elisha was getting ready to be the guy that needed to live right and do right. Elisha understood that, but I don't think this king understands it. And so he tells him, he says, take bow and arrows, and he took unto him bow and arrows, and said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. So that king's there. He takes that bow and arrow. And Elisha puts his hands on there. And he's identifying with that arrow and with that bow. And he says, shoot. And when he releases it out of that window, what Elisha says is, that's your deliverance. That arrow right there represents your deliverance. It represents you winning the battles that you need to win. That's what we're looking at right here. So what it is, it's an analogy. But that arrow, just like that mantle meant something, that arrow meant something. When Elisha got that mantle, he took it and he understood what that mantle meant, what it represented. And when he went to that river, as I said this morning, he was there and it was like, where is the Lord God of Elisha? And he smote that river. But the king here, I don't think he's picking up what Elisha's laying down. You know what I'm saying? Elisha's saying, this is it. This is what you got. This is the analogy here. This arrow is what it is. And he says there in verse 18, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Now you see what he said was in verse 17, this arrow of deliverance, he said, this right here, you'll smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And then when it's time for him to smite those arrows on the ground, he don't do a very good job of it. And he says, now it's not going to work. He said, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. All right, let's go ahead and let's have another prayer, a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Luke Klippinger if you would lead us in prayer. So as I was sitting here and I was studying this message and looking at the points that I was going to try to make out of this passage right here, trying to make it all flow, trying to make it all work, I just honestly I could not just get my head wrapped around the way I'm trying to do it and the way I'm trying to make it work. So tonight may just end up being a testimony of what we want to do, how we want to finish out, how we want to finish strong, like the Lord Jesus Christ did, right? Like the Lord Jesus Christ did, like David did at the end. I mean, David had a misstep in his life, but David finished strong. Elijah had a misstep in his life, but Elijah finished strong. God is interested. When you look at the Bible and you look at the point that God makes with men and with women, he looked a lot about how people finished. I mean, the Bible goes out of his way to say what? To say, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And there's an opportunity for us as Christians to get into the Bible, to get into fight, to live right, to do right, to try to do right and live right. And then at the end of it or somewhere along the way, we might get tired or we might get discouraged or some things may happen in our lives and we want to go off to the side. And God says, you know what? I don't want you to. He goes out of his way in the Bible to show us he's all about people doing right. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There is something the Bible's got to say about finishing. Look over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Hold your place back there. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, this is Paul talking, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. And we do know what happens. I mean, that's it. That's the end of his life. And Paul's sitting here saying, man, I've had temptations and trials going on, and I've just kept preaching. I kept giving it to you. I didn't quit. I kept giving you what you needed. And he said, there he says in verse 22 again, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say, that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he's laying out how hard it's been, but he's continuing to do what he's supposed to do, which brings you down to verse 24, and he says this, talking about those bonds and afflictions. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. and what Paul said there, it's important. It's important that I finish my course. It's important that I finish my race the way God wanted me to finish my race. I don't want to give up on the last lap. I don't want to give up at the end of this race where everything's coming against me and it's time for me to check out of this place. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So I might finish. I want to finish the ministry that God gave me. And that's where Elisha's at. He's at the end of his life. And he's still fighting. And he's still looking at the future. And he's still focusing on the things that he's supposed to be focusing on. Where God told him, he said, listen, you're going to take over the prophet of Elijah. It's going to be you. It was Elijah there. And then now you're going to take over. You're going to be the prophet to Israel. You've got a work to do. And he's getting ready to die. It would be real easy for him to be right here at this moment, right here, and be thinking, man, I'm getting ready to check out. I've told these guys over and over and over. It's on them now. I mean, I've had enough. I have preached, and I have talked, and I've done all these miracles, and I've done everything I can do, and I'm tired, and I'm sick, and I'm finished with this. But he didn't do that. Look down there. Here's the first thing I want you to see is he still had focus in him. At that moment where he's sick enough that he's getting ready to die, but he still has the focus in him to continue to do what God called him to do. Verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. You know what he's doing right there? He's laying there and he's sick in bed. But he's still interested, what? In that next generation being delivered. He's sitting there and he's thinking about, you know what? There's still people out there that they don't know what's right. There's still people out there that there's an enemy that's coming after them. And somebody has got to tell them. He ain't gave up at the end. He's still got some focus in him about what's going on in life. And a lot of us as adults, I'll just be honest with you. We get frustrated and we get worn out and we get tired and we think about this next generation and we think, man, you know, I ain't even for sure even want my kids to have kids and have grandkids to grow up in this day and time. And I, you know, I just hate it for them and what they've got to face. You know, that's just us getting old and getting tired saying those things. I'd say the young people beg to differ. I'd say, hey, listen, y'all had your shot, you bunch of old geezers. Give us a shot. Quit telling us that we, you know, quit feeling sorry for us. We want to raise kids. We want to raise them right. We want to fight the devil like you fought the devil. We want to live right when other people are living wrong. We want to separate ourselves when everybody else, just like you all used to separate yourself. We've heard the old stories. We want an opportunity to do that. Sometimes we need to sit back and think, you know what? They may not be as tired as we are. They may not be worn out with the fight like we're worn out with the fight. But more than that, right there, what we should be doing is saying, let's fight like they fight. Let's go arm in arm with them. Let's still stand on the street corner and say, thus saith the Lord, turn or burn. One of these days you're going to stand before God. The books will be open. Stand there and tell people and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, even at our age. Man, there's people all through this Bible. I mean, there were people that were 17 years old. Joseph was 17. David was probably around 16 or 17 years old. There's people, Joshua was around 30, 40 years old. Caleb was around 30 or 40 years old when he got started, and he was fighting for the Lord. Moses was 80 years old when he decided to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know what? If you're living, God's not through with you. Elisha looked at this thing and he said, I'm still focusing on what the fight is. I'm still focusing about the next generation. I'm still worried about them. I'm going to help them till when? Until I finally close my eyes and I go off into eternity. And I'm the same way, folks. Listen, I want to be there. These young guys, man, I get around these young guys. They talk about going street preaching. They're getting fired up. It brings back those old memories. It gets that fire, man, like Jeremiah, that fire shove in my bones. I get out there and start walking around watching them boys out there on the street corner, sitting there preaching on the street. Man, they never preached before. I was out there with my nephew, Wyatt, a couple of weeks ago, and he's out there and he's got that sign out there, and he's out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when he was born. I remember when he grew up. And man, it just does something for old Brother Jack. I love it. I love getting down there and talking to him. Tell him coming back from Oak Ridge one day, we all didn't get to go, and it rained, and everybody got the message. We wasn't going except Hugo. Hugo went by himself. led somebody to the Lord. Bless God, I love stories like that. I like being around it. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready to go on. I'm still focused on what we're trying to do for God. See, the next thing that he talked about, the next thing is this right here. He didn't just have focus. He didn't just have focus. He had some fight in him. This old man's getting ready to kick the bucket. He's getting ready to die. He's still got some fight in him. He's still got some passion in him. He's still got some fire in him. He got this little passive noodleback king that's come in here from the north, that he's in the northern tribes there, and they're already backslid, and he's backslid. His grandparents were backslid. They don't know God, wouldn't know God if God sat down beside them, like on the road to Damascus, that those guys are the disciples of Arimathea. There, he wouldn't even recognize them, like they didn't recognize Jesus Christ. They didn't know, have nothing to do. They have no religious thought at all. And he's sitting over there, and Elisha's sitting there, and he's like, okay, look, here's what you got to do. All you got to do is this right here. You got three arrows. You got three arrows. All you got to do is beat these things on the ground. Here you go, son. Have at it. This is the arrow of deliverance right here. This is your deliverance. And he gets down there, and that king gets down there. Three times. And Elisha loses his mind. Elisha loses his mind. He's an old man. He's on his deathbed. He's about ready to die. He's sick with the disease that he's got, that he's going to die with. And he's on that bed, and he's fired up, and he's telling him, look, I'm going to help you, son. I'm going to make this thing work for you. You're going to deliver yourself, and you're going to be completely delivered. This is going to be great. Well, thank you. No! This is great. You don't understand. And he goes over and he taps him. And Elisha grabs him. No! You've done this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You should act like you're trying to get something done here. You know what Elisha had? He had some fight still in him. He had some ability there where he's sitting there and he's like, I got passion. You know what, you as adults, there's times we sit here and we look at this life and we go, you know what? I'm so tired of fighting this and I'm tired of standing against this, and I'm tired of standing against this, and I just want to give up, and they just keep bringing it inch by inch by inch. I'm tired of what they're bringing into the schools, and they're tired. I mean, I think back about when and Brother Gary Sexton was up here, and he was talking about some things that was going on down at Tennessee Tech, about some of these trannies that were down there, and there were these men dressing up like women and reading stories to these young kids. I should fire you up. I should get you fired up. I mean, you know, it's so hard to be the one that's always got to go against the grain. It's so hard to be the one that's always got to stand up and say, well, you know, I guess it's good, but not really. Not really, it ain't good. Because they're not doing it the right way, and they're not living for the Lord, and they're not glorifying God with it. It's all about self, and you always have to be the one. And you know, and they don't like the King James Bible, and they don't like to do right, and they're trying to do everything for themselves. It's all about them. When they sing, it's all about them, and you have to be the one that always says what? It's always wrong, and everybody says, well, he's always so negative. He's always the one that he's always got to pull. Why can't you? Everybody's got, we've all got that disease there of like Micaiah had, right? It's like, yeah, go ahead, the Lord's going to deliver them for you. And they're like, well, you know, he always prophesies bad. That's what people think about us as Bible believers. And you know what a lot of times it does? It'll beat us down. But Elisha was getting ready to die. And at the end of his life, you know what he said? I still ain't quitting. I still got some fight in me. I still got some fight. That king may be passive. Some of this next generation may be passive. But I can tell you this. On my way out the door, I'm not going to be passive. I'm still going to be fighting. I'm still going to be fighting against sin. I'm still going to be fighting against what's wrong. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, thinking about Billy Sunday, when he said, when I die, he said, tan my hide. He said, and make drums out of my hide and go up and down the street and beat that drum so they'll still know that Billy Sunday's against the liquor crowd. That's what I want to have. That's the attitude I want to have when I'm getting out of this world and I'm done and it's over for me. I want people to say, man, he fought tooth and nail. He fought all the way to the end. And then the last thing is this right here I want you to see. I want you to see this right here. Look, as he's sitting there, the other thing, it's not just the fact that he had focus and he had fight. His life's over, but he still had the future he still had the future in him. He had focus in him, he had fight in him, and he's got the future in him. As he's sitting here and he's talking about this stuff about there in verse 17, at the end of it, "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." You're going to consume those Syrians. So here's what you have. As we sit right here and get ready to leave this world, there's more people in the ground that thought they were going to be here during the rapture than not. One of these days, the rapture's going to happen. One of these days. But it may not be during our lifetime. One of these days, we may kick the bucket. We may be gone. You may have Brother Jack in a coffin right here preaching his funeral. But here's what I want you to remember, is that when that happens, that I was still thinking about the future. I was still thinking about young people. I was still thinking about that next generation that's coming up. Still thinking about people dying and going to hell, and people that I pass on the street wanting to give them a gospel tract, wanting to talk to them about the Lord. No matter how awkward it is or how it is, I still want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still thinking about the future, thinking about what Trinity Baptist Church is going to be like once I'm gone. Man, I'd hate to think that after us, this older generation, after what we went through, the foundation that we've poured, the foundation that we've laid, the fights that we've had, the fights against liquor by the drink, the times that we've sat here arm in arm and prayed for things, to think that it went contemporary. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 70. Psalm 71. He still had focus in him. He still had fight in him. And he still had the future in him. He was still thinking about the future of Israel. He's still fighting for what God had called him to do. And the psalmist here that wrote Psalm 71, he goes down through here in Psalm 71. He begins to make mention of things and what he's done and what he's done from his youth. You see there in verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth," there in verse 5. "By thee," verse 6, "have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." And he sits there and he talks about his life, and he talks about being young and growing up. But then here's what he says. He gets down there. Look down in verse 16. He says this. He says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." Look at verse 17. "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." He said, "God, you taught me when I was young. And from there, from that time until now, God, I've stayed in this thing, I've fought in this thing, and I've stayed fired up in this thing, Lord, and I've declared your wondrous works." Look what he says in verse 18. "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." Go back to 2 Kings. You know what? I want my life to count for something, as they were singing this morning. When I get old and gray-headed, I got that verse highlighted right there. About 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord gave me that. And he told me, he said, "You need to get a hold of this younger generation. You need to start spending some time with this younger generation. You need to start telling them about the stories, about what you got from the people that were ahead of you and what they taught you. And you need to start passing that down to this younger generation, getting a hold of them and helping them do what they need to be doing." And from that time on, I just felt like that's what the Lord's wanted me to do. And I've just got a hold of these young guys, and I get on them and I put pressure on them at times. And then I back off a little bit, which they probably don't think I do. And I back off a little bit, and I'm like, you know, just give them some time to tread some water and get their feet under them again. And then about the time they start feeling good about themselves, I start pushing them. "You ain't doing enough. You ain't doing enough. It's what we used to do back in the day. We used to do this." And you may be a little bit of, what's the word, lying about how it used to be in the old days. And getting them fired up. Just getting them excited about what? Getting them excited about the Lord. I look around and I see people like Ron Cook sitting back there and Donald Cook sitting back there and Gary Boyd sitting over there. And I'm sorry, I know I talk about those guys, but those guys made a difference in my life. They made a difference in my life, and now I want to pass that down to young women, young men. I talk to them, try to help them, try to tell them how to live right, do right. This world ain't got nothing for you. And as all of us, as Christians, as we grow older, you know what we need? We need to remember that next generation that's coming up. I mean, Elisha, even though Elisha died, he was still affecting people. Look at 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13, verse 20, it says, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man in the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. So you say, what's going on right here? What's going on right here? Here's what's going on. They're having a funeral procession. Elisha's dead. He's gone. One of these days, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be dead and buried. And Elisha is dead, and he's buried, and he's got a sepulcher. And they've got a funeral of another man, and they're walking down through here, big funeral procession, and some bandits show up. Who knows what's getting ready to happen? They're getting ready to get robbed, or I don't know what's getting ready to happen. They get scared, and it's like, man, funeral's over. And they just toss him into that sepulcher of Elisha. And he hits those bones. And what happened? Came alive. He came alive. Man, you know what I hope? I hope that they've got videos of me. I hope they got recordings of me. And I hope that the people's got memories of me. These younger guys have got memories of me. And I hope when I'm dead and buried and I'm in heaven and I'm up there with the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's people still sitting down here, that they're sitting down and they're thinking about, may they be thinking about quitting one day. Man, I've had enough of this. And somebody put this message on. And they sit there and listen to Jack Butts. Jack Butts out of the grave, still preaching, still getting on them, still getting them saying, come on, boys, let's go. Let's get after it. Let's give it to them. Let's give it everything we got. Both guns blaring. Let's go after sin. Let's go after the liquor crowd. Let's go after the dope heads. Let's tell them about Jesus Christ. Let's get them saved. Let's get them turned around. Let's get them fixed. Let's get them serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully one of these, man, there are people right now I listen to, most of the people I listen to, most of them are dead. I listen to a lot of people that are dead right now. I'm listening to their messages. I get fired up listening to their messages. I think about people like Jack Wood that I used to listen to, Oliver B. Green I used to listen to. Listen to Dr. Ruckman. He's gone. He's dead. He's gone. You know what? They're still affecting me from the grave. People like Jack Hiles. I listen to Jack Hiles a lot, getting me fired up about winning souls. Listen to people like Curtis Hudson, winning souls. You say, Brother Jack, what are you doing? Just trying to get fired up. Just trying to make sure I don't quit in the end of this thing. When Elisha signed off, he signed off fighting, man. Signed off. And I looked at that thing this week, and that Charlie Kirk sitting up there in that seat, and he's sitting there and giving it with both hands. Give it to him. Giving him the answers. Giving him the material. And he got knocked off in this world. But when he got knocked off, he was giving it to him with both guns. Giving it to him. Giving to him what he had a passion for. Man, don't quit. When it's time for you to sign off, don't quit. Be there fighting. Don't be one of these people like Demas, having forsaken God, having loved this present world. Get that world away from you and sit down and say, you know what? More of Him. More of Him. I want to go out. When I go out, I want to go out and I want to still be fighting, still be caring, still be winning souls, still be loving the Lord, still be standing for that King James Bible. Let's all stand. The signing off of Elisha. How are you going to sign off? Can we pass it like that king, or you got something to you? And God got a hold of you. God got a hold of your heart. Do you love Him? Thinking about Elisha there, just with his life and our life as Christians, are you zoned in? Is your mind fixed on what you're supposed to do for the Lord? God wants you to do something for Him before it's too late. Don't be a casualty of war. One of these days, the Lord's going to get what He deserves. And by God's grace, we're going to be right there with Him when He gets it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Got to keep focus. You got to have some fight in you. You got to be thinking about the future when you're gone. I appreciate your attention. Brother Dilber will be here Wednesday night. Remember the camp meeting. Keep praying about the camp meeting. We've got a wedding shower we're going to go to down here and celebrate with Eli and Cameron. So you keep them in your prayers as well and go down there and celebrate with them. I'm going to ask Brother Joshua if you would dismiss us and pray with us.